Let's do it. We go to hour number three. Welcome back, or good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. I'm Jim Rome. I am in Southern California. Great to be with you. One last hour. Again, a long weekend. So you want to get up in here, and you want to go hard, and you want to finish. Telephone number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. More phone calls coming up after this. But right now, as promised, we're joined by a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He is entering his sixth season with the team. He was the 235th pick in 2018 at Syracuse. Last season, he set a franchise record with 167 tackles, 12 of them for loss, along with three sacks and three forced fumbles. The Colts are going to open up their season against Jacksonville on September 10th. Zaire Franklin is my guest. He joins us via Zoom. Zaire, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Dude, it is awesome to have you here. It is great to talk to you. Great to meet you. You know, I mentioned off the top, you had an amazing season last year. You broke the Colts single-season record for tackles with 167. I got to start right there. Given the amazing journey that you've taken to get here and the fact that you were injured in the season finale and then you came back later in that game and you got that mark, what does the record represent to you?
The record really just represents, you know, a culmination of a whole lot of work, you know, a journey, you know, full of valleys and peaks, you know, but I'm still going. You know, I'm just thankful for the success that I had personally last year, but really just looking forward to turning around and getting some more wins in that win column. And just building something to be proud of here in Indianapolis.
You know, I kind of thought you would answer it that way because that's what you're about, man. You're about the team. You're about the guys around you. You're about everything but yourself. But I want to ask you this. I mean, given how hard you've worked, I'm curious, like, what kind of fuel are you running on right now? Like, what's your mindset? When you hit the field, do you feel like, hey, man, I am that guy. I'm him. I'm the single-season record holder for tackles in this joint. I made history? Or do you feel like that seventh rounder with that immense chip on your shoulder who's got to prove himself every single day at the facility? What's it feel like now?
Oh, man, it's crazy. I was actually just talking to one of my teammates yesterday. We was on the jugs at the practice. And I was just telling him, I'm like, look, man, it feels good to have the validation from the organization, from the fans, from my teammates. But, you know, I remember, you know, when I came in, they wouldn't even let me pick my number. You know, I remember, you know, not being a part of the team photo ops until my third year in the league. And I was already a team captain by then. You know, I remember what it was like to kind of be on the outside looking in. And I think, you know, just always thinking about those days and thinking about the days when I wish I was where I am now. Just continue to motivate me, continue to push him. But to be honest, you know, as you achieve a goal, your goals just get bigger. So, for me, you don't got time in the league to kind of sit around and think about where you are. You constantly just trying to push that envelope, constantly trying to raise the level. And I got goals that I didn't reach last year, so I got to continue to push and get them.
Zaire Franklin joining us. Let me ask you this. I mean, guys taken where you were taken don't stick. They don't stick. Much less star and lead the way you have. Did you always see yourself having this type of success in the league and the life that you have overall right now? Did you know?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's easy for everybody to say, everybody says, yeah. But, you know, to be honest, there were times where I doubted myself. There were times where, you know, I was like, well, man, am I just a special teamer? You know, am I just a guy that's, a good backup in the league? You know, is that what the team needs me to win? But, you know, I always really just believed in myself. I always, you know, so I was going to take a bet on myself. And look, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe that I was the player that I always truly thought I was capable of being. And, you know, when I had my opportunity, I knew I just wasn't going to miss. So last year, just coming into the season, knowing I was going to have an opportunity to play for, you know, extended amount of time, I just knew once they let me on that field, I wasn't going to get off. And I was just going to prove to everybody in those buildings, everybody watching around the country that, you know, I deserve to be where I was supposed to be.
Right. And plus, you have to bet on yourself. If you're not willing to bet on yourself, why would anybody else? Now, everybody plays the game for different reasons. You made it pretty clear that you play the game in large part for both your mom and your grandmother, who both sadly passed away. Can you start with your mom? What was she like, and what do you remember about her?
Oh, man, she was sweet, soft-spoken. She was a dreamer. And, you know, just a long story short, she really just believed in me. She used to go around telling everybody, you know, I was going to be somebody one day. I was going to be a star. She had to drop out of college her sophomore year when she had me. For me, being the first person in my family to graduate college was a big deal. And it was a promise that I made to her before she passed. And I was glad that I was able to finish that. So she was just an inspiration. She's the reason why, you know, I believe I could achieve anything because, you know, she put that battery in my back from a young age.
I mean, that's beautiful. I was going to ask you about that. You promised her you would get that degree. Why was that so important to her? And then how gratifying was it for you to see it through and get it done?
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, your parents always tell you, look, you want to get something that they can't take away from you, you know. And for her, she was like, look, what you're doing on the field, what you're doing, you know, on the baseball field, football field, whatever I was playing at the time. She was like, look, that's cool, but you want to get something. Once you got it up here, you know, they can never take it away from you. So, you know, getting that degree. And like I said, you know, being that first in my family to graduate college, you know, growing up, I didn't really have that many, you know, people that even went to college. I didn't really see people doing those type of things. So for me to set that standard for my family moving forward, I felt like it was just a big deal, not only for my children, but for my nieces and nephews as well.
Good for you. Zara Franklin joining us. What about your grandma? Did she know the game pretty well? And what was she like?
She was fiery, man. It's funny if you was to talk to anybody from Philly, growing up in West Oak Lane, they'll tell you that she was a fire on the sideline. She used to yell mid-game. She arguing with the refs. She was that type of fan and parent. So that's where I get all my trash talking, all that other stuff from. So all that fire and all that energy, that comes from her side.
There's this great piece on you this week in The Athletic, and your Pop Warner coach said that your grandmother, tell me if this is true, your grandmother, when you were like 7, would get right up in your grill, look you in the eye right through the face mask and say, quote, you're going to go out there and you're going to hit somebody. Like, is that how it really was? Was grandma like that?
My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was wild. She was crazy. She used to yell for me on the sideline. You don't make a play, you ain't coming home tonight. She used to just be joking, but she was just that type. She was just you people probably get in trouble for talking to their kids like that nowadays. But to be honest, it was just that hunger. She used to always tell me, be a hitter, not a looker. You know, go out there and play. And I think for her, she just wanted me to go out there, don't hesitate. You know, just go out there, play, have fun, and like, look, if you're going to be on the field, you might as well go make a play. You might as well be known. So. That was just her, man. We out there to, you know what I'm saying, break heads and take names, you know, so that's kind of how she used to carry.
So. I love that so much. If you're going to be out there, you might as well punch somebody in the face. You know, so tragically, though, Zaire, the two women that meant so much to you passed away 77 days apart. I'm curious, like, how are you able to process something as traumatic as that as such a young person? How did you get through that period?
To be honest, it was my village, you know. First and foremost, obviously my family, my aunt and my cousins that, you know, surrounded me. But to be honest, I had a great group of guys that I'm still talk to this day, still friends with to this day. You know, I even stayed at a friend's house for a month or so. They drove me to school when my parents couldn't drive me to school because I didn't have my license yet. And, you know, I just had a group of friends and a village that really wrapped their arms around me. And to be honest, I just threw myself into the game, you know, football and, you know, going to work out. It was a refuge for me. You know, it was somewhere I could go to kind of get my mind off of things. And, you know, I knew that, you know, I wanted to make them proud. And I felt like, you know, to sit around and sulk and feel bad about what happened. Obviously, you got to grieve and stuff. But I really just wanted to, you know, prove them right for all the different things that they spoke over me, all the prayers that they prayed for me, and all the dreams that they had for me. I just really wanted to prove something beyond even their imagination.
You know, I so appreciate your thoughts on that because that's not an easy topic. They sound like they were both absolutely amazing. And I know probably you and I would not be having this conversation right now if not for your mom and your grandmother. They sound amazing. Let me ask you about the team. The team used the 4th overall pick to draft quarterback Anthony Richardson. The guy was an absolute freak show, Zaire, at the combine. How has he looked so far to you at OTAs? And is he living up to all the advanced hype? I know it's early, but is he living up to all that energy and hype so far?
I mean, you know, we don't in the locker room, we don't really pay attention to the hype. You know, it's cool to have, you know, a young boy that come in with a lot of glitz and glam. But, you know, I think the thing I love so much about Anthony is, man, he's all about the work. He's all about the grind, man. He come in early. He's putting that work in. You know, he's out to practice early. He's out to practice late. He's doing his best. And I'm not going to lie, man, he's making some plays. You know, obviously, when you first get out there, you know, you're going against, you know, a first team defense for the first time. Things are going on. But as he settled in, he started to make plays. He's athletic, man. He, He makes some big throws. And I think just as he settled down, as he continued to get comfortable, continue to work with Coach Steichen and the offense and those guys getting in rhythm and routine, you know, I definitely think he has everything necessary to be special.
I appreciate that. You mentioned Coach Steichen. What about that? You get a brand new head coach in Shane Steichen. He joined the team after helping lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl. He was their O coordinator. He's only 38, third youngest coach in the NFL. What kind of an impression did he make on you when he first addressed the team? What's he like?
I think he's, you know, he's just a sharp guy. You know, I appreciate, you know, how young he is. I think he's just closer to, you know, our age, understands, you know, what kind of gets us to tick. Understands the type of, you know, things that motivate us. And, you know, he's a guy that's kind of coming in and, you know, he's holding everybody accountable, holding everybody to the same standard. He doesn't shy away from, you know, I think tough conversations or talking about reaching our goals. But what is it going to take to reach our goals? It's going to take the hard work. It's going to take the commitment. It's going to take, you know, being that same guy coming in every single day. So just the energy that he just brings, you know, to the practice field, to the meeting room. And I think it's just, you know, it's influential. You can feel it, you know, when we out there practicing, everybody's hype, everybody's having a good time. So, you know, it's definitely been good so far.
Zaire Franklin joining us. I was going to ask you, like, the coaches, in your opinion, who are the coaches that have the most success right now? Is it the ones with the most innovative schemes, or is it something else? Is it something more intangible?
Well, I think OTAs is really just about building the foundation of your team, you know, so, you know, it, obviously you want the coach that comes in and knows ball, you know, but, you know, pretty much everybody knows ball. But I feel like the guys that come in, especially as, you know, in that head coaching spot, you're setting a culture, you know, you're setting the foundation. The things that you're preaching, the things that you're talking, the things that you're working on now are going to be the things that you're going to have to lean on, you know, and the things you're going to have to lean on when, you know, a star player goes down and now somebody else has to work through. But where you building that culture of everybody continue to try to get better, where you building that culture of everybody, you know, being able to depend on each other, everybody being able to lean on each other. Because those are the things that really make the difference. It's a long season. You know, it's full of highs and lows. And I think the teams with, like, the strongest foundations are the ones that's able to weather those storms and continue to get better, continue to build. So, I think, you know, he's done a great job of just really focusing on that. Obviously, he's a great coordinator. We all seen that from the Eagles run last year and then with his work in L.A. So, obviously, he's a talented guy when it comes to talking ball. But I really think that foundation that a team can stand on.
See, I get that. And you get a lot of that from the head coach. And then I wonder about, finally, if it starts at the very top. Like, I'm going to be real straight about this. I can't get enough of Jim Irsay, Zaire. Like, I love this guy. And I love this guy because I've never seen an owner quite like this guy. He's such a different cat. He's a content machine. And I'm not looking to get you on the wrong side of the boss, man. I just have to ask, can you share a favorite Jim Irsay story? What's it like having him around? Do you have a story you can share? Can you throw us a bone? One bone.
Well, first of all, you ain't gonna get me in trouble. Me and Mr. Irsay, we good. But I would just say, I mean, I don't know if I got too many stories. I mean, we done had some crazy moments here with the Colts, you know what I mean? From, you know, being in the locker room with Luck, or, you know, different situations with, you know, with Carr. You know, Mr. Irsay, he's always just kind of stood there, you know, even in our toughest moments, he's always been in the middle of the storm, been in that huddle, you know, he stands right there. He doesn't shy away from that. Even from my toughest moments, man, I think, you know, he's just extremely passionate about, you know, the Colts organization. It's a family-run thing, a family-run building. You know, a lot of organizations not like that. And I feel like, you know, that's why he's so passionate about it. That's why he puts so much into it, because, you know, it's his family. And that's how everybody looks at it. So I think that's really what it comes down to. Like, he's in there. I'll just say it like that. He's in there. He's staying firm in it. Whether it's good or bad, highs and lows, you know, his feet's planted and you know, he's ready to go to war with us, whether the world's with us or the world's against us. So I think that's all you really would want from an owner, too.
As I was going to say, that's what you want. That's exactly what you want. Zaire, you are a great player, a great dude, a great story. I'm so glad you and I finally came together. I appreciate you, man. Let's be sure and do it again soon. But great to have you on today. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Zaire Franklin, great story. Great player, great dude, great story. I love all that and want to get that done. Glad we did. Via Zoom, too. All right. We are coming right down to it. Phone lines are open if you want to react to it. Colts fans, gotta love what you just heard. Hit me up. Do you think you have what it takes to get a golden ticket? Can you play your way into the field? The Smack Off is actually on June 30th. It's invite only. 29 different times we've done this. Call right now, 1-800-636-8686. We'll take a short time out. What I want to talk about is Blocky. He's having a better day today than he did yesterday, but he had a bad day yesterday. If you see things like that, I don't see it like that, but there's a lot of keyboard warriors, bitter men coming for this guy, and I have no idea why. I want to get into all of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you've earned doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. The legend that is Caleb Cox is in. At Showtime, 43, CC writes, great interview with Zaire Franklin at Jim Rome. It's been great to watch his progress in his time with the Colts and how he has stepped up and become a leader and a phenomenal playmaker when his number was called. War Cruz Pendragon unworthy Indy 500 traffic around the state of Indiana. Caleb Cox, of course, is Cruz's right-hand guy and a jungle legend. Appreciate that, dude. And everything you said about Zaire is accurate. All right, so I want to talk about Blocky for a minute. It's like the number one rule in the world right now is whenever something is amazing, whenever something is basically the best thing ever, there's an entire army of losers ready to try to wreck the whole thing and ruin it. An entire pile of keyboard warriors trying to turn the best thing ever into the worst thing ever. But no matter how much those haters hate, there's nothing they can do to ruin one of the best stories you're ever going to see in golf, a.k.a. my dude, Blocky. Did you see the wild day that Michael Block had at Colonial yesterday? I mean, it was incredible. The guy is the ultimate jungle golfer. And not just because he's an Orange County Club pro, and not just because he's based like 25 minutes away from where I'm sitting right now, but because on tour, he is the ultimate give me an A or give me an F golfer. Yesterday, we got plenty of both. If you just checked the leaderboard after the first round of the Charles Schwab, you might have cringed when you saw Blocky dead last after shooting an 81. Except this is the rare case where the leaderboard does not tell you the whole story. It does not show you that Blocky still managed to put together a highlight reel of a round. He still managed to hit the most impressive, most viral shots of anybody in the field yesterday, despite posting that 81. First, he knocked it to within 4 feet on the par 3 fourth, which was the closest anybody was to the pin all day long on that hole. And of course, because it's Blocky, and because of that incredible ace on 15 on Sunday, everybody thought this one was going to go down too.
On what looks like a 5-wood.
Swing.
Trying to hoist it up in the air on a great line.
There we go.
Can he do
it? There we go.
Oh, yes.
Michael Block. Best shot we've seen at 4.
Right. And he nearly did do it again. But he wasn't done there. He nearly holed out his approach on 9 and then got everybody all riled up all over again.
Bringing in very low. Needs a big bounce.
Be good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, got it.
You know, after 15 last week, we're all expecting that to go in.
Right. And then still there was more. The best was still to come. The most viral moment of Blocky's day came on the 10th hole. After his drive wound up on a cart path bridge, rather than take a penalty, my dude decided to attempt this.
It's risky, but the other shot's no bargain.
Oh, we got it over the tree, and this looks good. Get up.
Oh, come on now. Just add it to the legend.
Yeah.
Continues to grow.
I mean, get
up. Better than taking a penalty, right, guys?
Better than taking a penalty, right, guys? Hits a perfect shot off a bridge and then works the crowd. I mean, this dude is something else. And somehow, some way, he saves par on that hole. And I'm not sure I've ever heard or had a guy see or have more fun tracking anybody on the first day of a non-major PGA event. Now, the way I'm telling it, it was one of the best days ever, when in fact, it really wasn't. Which is why I can't believe that the dominant social media narrative surrounding this guy this morning, never mind what he did today, today was better, but the surrounding social media after the day he had yesterday was brutal. Everybody was rushing in and coming for this guy and looking for his head on a stick. Like, I can't believe the idiot keyboard warriors and lava slingers trying to tear this guy down. Scratch that. Actually, I can believe it. Of course I can believe it. That's what the idiot keyboard warriors and lava slingers do. They try to wreck anything that's good. It's just not going to work with this dude, Blocky. Who the hell cares that he shot 81 yesterday? What? Now he's supposed to contend every single week? Now he's supposed to win every single week? The point here is, it's incredible that he's even involved at all. It's incredible that he got an invite at all. It's incredible that he got to tee off. And it's incredible that he once again managed to put on a show and hit some of the craziest, most impressive, most viral shots of the round. I mean, who the hell cares that this club pro shot 81? Who cares? And more importantly, who cares that he made the following comment about Rory McIlroy? This is what got everybody so heated. Everybody was so upset. You would not believe the heat that this guy was getting for going on the Ripper Magoo podcast. Not making that up. Actual podcast. Ripper Magoo. Michael Block went on the Ripper Magoo podcast, said this, and then everybody lost their bleep.
So what's the difference between his game on, would you, I mean, you'd assume that Rory's a better golfer than you are?
He's a lot longer than I am. That's what it is.
Okay, so that the length is the big thing.
Oh, my God. What I would shoot from where Rory hits it would be stupid. I think I'd be one of the best players in the world.
How, really?
Hands down. Oh, if I had that stupid length, all day, my iron game, wedge game, around the greens, and my putting is world class.
So he makes that statement, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking to kill this guy. Like, I don't even understand how people can get so bent about something like that, because there's really nothing to get bent about. No, the fame is not going to his head. No, he's not hot taking. No, he's not looking for attention. He's simply saying something pretty simple and pretty obvious. If I could bomb it an additional 60 or 70 yards, I'd be a very different player. I'd be able to hang with the pros. It doesn't seem all that crazy when you consider the fact that he can't bomb it with them, but just finished 15th at a major without that length. But somehow that comment went viral and that comment got roasted by seemingly every single loser with a Twitter account, and it got so toxic that the guy had to actually make a new video to clarify exactly what he meant.
Hey there, guys, it's Blocky. Who's ever taken out of context the fact that I could be the best player in the world or all that crap if I could hit it as far as Rory? I mean, the fact is, yeah. If I was 60 to 70 to 80 yards longer off the tee, yeah, of course I can compete on the PGA Tour. I mean, come on. I'm not. I'm 46. I'm a club pro. These guys bomb it past me. And it's cool. I've got no problem with it. Am I going to be the best player in the world or the top 20 in the world? No, I'm not. I'm still going to be a club pro at the end of the day. I'm not going to be on tour and all that stuff. So all the haters out there, come on, man. I mean, really? It's me. It's Michael. I'm having fun. I'm just playing. I'm still a club pro forever, and I love the PGA of America, and if you hate me, you hate me, but I still love you, so whatever.
Exactly. So whatever. He wasn't trying to suggest anything other than what's kind of obvious. 80 yards off the tee would make a difference. He'd be a different player if he could hit it 80 yards longer, right? Why is that some kind of crazy, egomaniacal hot take? It's not. That's the guy you were hating on. That's the guy you were coming for. Morons. The best story in quite some time in golf. In fact, one of the best stories ever at a time when, frankly, golf needed a great story. And he's just an awesome dude. Yet all you miserable Delta Bravos want to kill this guy and tear him down for something he said that is not even what he meant or what you think. Should he have said that? Maybe, maybe not. But I think it's pretty clear what he meant. Blocky, I got you. I get you. I understand. That garbage is not going to fly around here. Around here, this guy is the ultimate jungle golfer and the best thing going on tour right now. And no amount of negative bullcrap from the haters and the losers who have nothing better to do than try and tear a guy down is going to change my mind on that. But if you haters need more fuel, here it is. He went 4 over through 17 so far. In fact, he just finished up 4 over for the day. Plus 15 for the tournament. The cut line is at plus one. He'll be back in Orange County tonight. Why you want to kill a guy like that? Because inherently some of you, not all of you, some of you are just miserable. Why are you going to kill a guy like that? If you brought half that energy and half that intensity to improving your own life instead of trying to wreck somebody else's, how much better would you be and how much better would this world be? Let me check this email here. Like I don't get it. Why is the world like that in some pockets? Why are you looking to take something awesome and try to wreck it? Rome Slice. I was at the Colonial yesterday. Blocky was the coolest cat ever. Funny, conversational. He high-fived every one of us along the path to the first tee. Every one of us. And the reason the poor dude played poorly was he kept interacting with the crowd. We fools were in his head, but he didn't care. He was aight. Perfectly fine. What a great dude. He's one of us. He's a clone's clone. His performance on number 3 and number 9 were pulse pounding. Anyone throwing shade at this regular guy needs to buy themselves a Grinch suit and walk around their town square ringing a doomsday bell. Shut up, losers. Get on the block train. We're living the dream. John in Fort Worth, and he enclosed a picture to prove that he was there. Great email, dude. You probably said that even better than I did. Exactly. He was an awesome dude who had time for everybody and had a bad round. Get off this guy. It's about the life experience, right? He's fine with it. And made some of the most amazing shots of the day as well, even with that 81. And now he gets to come back home and finally see his kids and see his wife. I'm just asking the question, why is it that you would take something so awesome and try to wreck it? Why? What do you get out of that? Does that make you feel better about you? Obviously it does. When this guy's just feeling good about all of it. The fact that that guy had to take to his phone and respond to all the hate, and then finally say, hey, listen, haters, I know who I am. I know what I am. And even though you all are coming for me and you hate me, I still love you. I'm a club pro. I know it. Nothing changed. I'm just saying, yeah, probably I would be more competitive if I was 80 yards longer. And again, I'm going to back him up by saying he's not. He's not 80 yards longer, and he was still top 15 last week in a major. So what's so offensive about what he said? I got you, Blocky. And so does John in Fort Worth. Good take, John. Appreciate you. All right, when we come back, Albie's week that was. Maybe another phone call. You know what? I could use some ATPs, actually. Ask me any question you want. Hit us up with an ATP. We need one or more. The ATPs are next, but first up, here is a sports update. Here is Emmanuel Berhalter. Barbari. ATP. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, a couple of ATPs before Albie's week that was. Greetings, Jim. Another school year is down. Did your parents take you on a vacation every summer during your childhood? Which vacation do you remember as being the best? You know, they're really big on sending us to camp. And later on, we went to sleepaway camp. I went away once. First time I went away for a month. The second time for 7 weeks. Man, how happy were they? How happy would you be if your kid was gone 7 weeks, man? I know that Jay and Jan were getting nicer. We're definitely loving that I was gone. You know what? Actually, you know what they did back in the day? My parents were very consistent. My dad had business in Hawaii, of all places. They went to Hawaii 3 times a year. My parents always went to Hawaii 3 times a year. So we would do that. That was the vacay. We essentially just went there and nowhere else. When he got sick and my dad had cancer and we knew that he only had so much time left, they got it in their heads that they wanted to take my sister and I to Europe. So we made a Scotland run. We stayed in a castle in Scotland. We went to Switzerland. Apparently there were Romes in Switzerland that I didn't know that we got to meet. That was really funky. Like, we found distant cousins in Switzerland. They actually spelled their name differently than us, but we were related. But mostly the vacations were Hawaii. Jimmy Jim, who controls the thermostat at the Rome household? Brent and PC. Dr. Jano and I both. Whatever. Whatever. If we're hot, we turn on the air. If we're cold, we turn on the heat. Not a thing. It's really expensive, but it's not a thing. Will you ever follow one of the clones on Twitter? Carl and Prescott. I believe that I follow Mike DeTola. Mike DeTola, long ago, won an auction item, which included getting a follow from yours truly. So I think that I still follow the doc. Mr. Rome, have you ever taken Mrs. Rome to play miniature golf? Respectfully, Edward Marino from Redondo Beach. Yes. Yes, we have. You know, Dodger Jano is athletic. Again, Dodger Jano went to a powerhouse high school. She went to Long Beach Poly. Powerhouse high school. Not only did she go to Long Beach Poly, she ran track at Poly, and she played volleyball at Poly, and she was getting volleyball scholarship offers. And she's one of those gals, one of those people. Janet can go 5 years, 8 years without picking up a golf club, show up at a golf course, and, like, she's not long, but she's straight, 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 straight. She's got that kind of athletic ability. She's good like that. So she probably rolled me up in miniature golf. We have gone. Lanier Messenger is in. ATP, is there any caller from back in the day where you wished would call on Smackoff 29 and shock the jungle? Of course. Terrence, Jim in Fall River. Those two come to mind. Jim in Fall River has been the ultimate white whale. Could never find that guy. He made 2 of the most famous calls ever and then just disappeared. If he randomly showed up on June 30th, it'd be incredible. I invited him every year for like 10 years. He never showed up. I've stopped inviting him, but he's still invited. Hey, Rome, thank you for telling it as it is. Concerning the Michael Block haters, Jim. Social media is the ruination of modern society, and this is just another example. Listen, social media is so good and incredible when it's so good and incredible, and it's the worst thing ever when it's the worst thing ever. It's both. Albie, go ahead. Roll the week that was. What's cracking? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Hope you had a great weekend. Some of you I know did, and some of you had a miserable weekend. We'll get to all that momentarily. The assassin, Jack Savage, is engineering today.
So it's Jack Savage.
Look at him. He's already on it. Let me start off by shouting out to my fellow half chows, my half fam, your Celtics half fam, our full
Ass. Yeah! Is there a disconnect between you and the players at this point?
Not sure.
Not that there's ever a good time to quit, but in game three of the conference finals, when you've lost two games at home already, is the very worst time to quit. Back to the drawing board, Boston.
But I think the Celtics are just not going to happen. They're not going to make it.
What happened to that team?
They just something, they're, I don't know, scared of heights.
Alex Korn, my guest for a few more moments.
If we enjoyed FanFest in 2019 after we won the World Series and we wanted to be on that stage, you got to be accountable too. And when you're coming from a bad season, you have to be on that stage and confront the fans.
Jokic has to put it up.
How about this? How about we give the Nuggets credit for running right through the Lakers? Car Flag Nation. Put that in your pipe, smoke it. Put it in a syringe and inject it.
Oh my God, they swept the Lakers.
And LeBron, but it seemed like he was building his retirement home as it was, as many bricks as he was putting up.
Well, I kind of knew the announcement was going to happen. People probably think I'm lying about that too.
Well, yes. See, Bron, the thing about liars, if you ever get caught in a lie, everybody assumes that they can't trust anything out of your mouth after that.
Bitch in Southeast Wisco's calling. You're the fart of the jungle. Yes, you make noise, but you stink like ass, and no one wants to be around you, especially women.
When I'm sitting on the toilet, the toilet paper's all gone. That's the feeling I get when D and the Fee comes on. Like, seriously?
Talking to Bradley Chubb. Bradley, what about Tua?
He looks great to me right now, man. Not gonna lie to you.
I'm lying about that, too.
He's a great guy to be around, so I'm expecting him to have a big year this year. I'm excited for him.
All clones are welcome, excluding those from Bakersfield, Fresno, and Pomona. Yeah. Pomona.
Michael Block, how long have you played with the current set of irons?
If you saw him in a garage sale, you might spend $25. What? Those clubs have been my friends and my babies for a long time.
Zero credit for finally getting around to playing to your potential. Zero credit for just looking the way you're supposed to look.
Everything's gonna be all right.
And if Himi is cool, I'm cool. And if Himi says they've got this, they've got this.
I am definitely in on the NBA.
Kelly McCrimmon.
Well, when you're in a series, you never know if you're going to come out the other end successfully. So certainly we're pleased to be leading the series 3-0. We're one win away from Stanley Cup Finals.
The Dallas Stars, their fans just embarrassing themselves last night, just quitting, like just clowns that they are.
Tweaked my calf in the...
It's almost as if everybody is just assuming the worst. Hey, Rome, amputation is necessary.
I don't think it's too serious.
Jimmy, my man!
Has anyone called in yet to announce that it's officially smack-off season? Because it's smack-off season, Jim. Officially.
The smack-off.
He scores!
Don't try to slam our rat fam into their rat story. This is all about the Panthers.
Everyone's going to say you got swept. That's not what happened.
I don't know, Rod. Do you know why, Rod? Everybody's going to say you got swept because you did get swept.
We didn't lose four games.
I hate that.
Last time I checked, scoreboard rules on. They got beat.
Tony Loughman is my guest.
Two words sum it up. Matthew Tkachuk. He's the brave heart of his era, minus the face paint. He's John Rambo. Nothing is over.
Nothing is over!
Talking to Drake London.
I'll just go into the person that Bijan is first. He's a humble guy. He has crazy work ethic. When you get on the field, as you can see what we're watching right now, I mean, he's a beast.
What's your beef?
Well, now you're calling a national, I think, sports radio show to talk about sex and diarrhea.
You don't have a gray hair on your head. Diarrhea.
My beef is with the beef.
Stop that, dude. Get your mind right. Pause. Chill. You got to come to Nashville, man. Live, man. Step your game up.
Hey, South Florida.
Make sure that we got...
And it's going to be a South Beach massacre!
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
You can hear the urine dribbling down his leg.
There may be a little urine dribbling, but hey, Lane, we're all friends here.
Barely covers the valet service for a good parking lot. Excuse me.
Thank you, brother. Be well.
Hopefully I'll see you down the road here.
Benny, guess what?
Hey, Beaks. Guess what?
Honored to be a part of your broadcasting tree.
Oh.
Jim, I've been watching you a long time, and I was coming on your show for sure, buddy.
Wow! Nothing!
Superman without the cape.
Isn't that a fine howdy-do?
Jim, you my man. Abby, I love y'all.
It's 3.5 months to opening day.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Bye, period.
Good night now!
Come on, Jimmy! Nice job, Alvin. As always, the most consistent segment every single week on the program. Alvy's week it was. And I look back, yeah, what a great week we had. It was so fun. You know what was great? Running down Bruce Bochy today. I was looking at my records. I don't think that I've spoken to him. This blows me away. I don't think Boach has come on the show since 2017. And still getting it done. My thanks to him. Zaire Franklin, what a great dude. Great presence, great leader, great story, great journey. Love that. Pretty good day by the clones. Listen, long holiday weekend. We have a best of on Monday, right? So the entire XR4TI is going to have that day off. Best of on Monday.
That's right.
Hope you clones have an amazing weekend. Once again, my thanks to Boach, Zaire Franklin, XR4TI, grinding. Not an easy gig. Good job, guys. Thank you very much. Well done. Clones, have an awesome holiday weekend. In the meantime, I want to direct you to episode 268 of the Jim Rome podcast. Gerald McCoy is great. He shows up great. I want to direct you to the Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. Personal development, motivational, inspirational. Eric Musselman showing up huge. And I know that the Hog Nation, Arkansas fan, loves it because they're all over social about it already. So check those out. Have a great weekend. See you Tuesday. We're out.